The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
On the Mount of Olives, Jesus said to his disciples privately about his coming. But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them away, so too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal, and one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we all have our favorite Advent hymns. We heard one today, "Lo, He Comes in Clouds Descending." My favorite is, O Come, Emmanuel," all 97 verses. It's so big we only sing a couple at a time. But I found a new favorite in working on this hymn, and it goes something like this. On a dark desert highway, cool wind in my hair. Up ahead in the distance, I saw a shimmering light. My head grew heavy. My sight grew dim. I had to stop for the night. That's sort of our Advent journey. It goes on. I was thinking about doing a whole exegesis of this hymn for my sermon, but then I thought maybe I should have a more traditional sermon on the first Sunday of Advent. But take a look at the words to the song. Most of us know the tune, but we haven't really looked at the words. It could, in fact, be an Advent hymn. Advent is really two seasons in one. Each year we're told that we need to look back to Jesus' birth and we need to look forward to his coming again. And yet in all our holiday preparations, we acknowledge only one of these Advents. And it's not the one with the post-apocalyptic vision. I was in the Marriott in Riverside a couple weeks ago waiting for the start of the Mission Inn Half Marathon. And in the lobby was this giant Christmas tree, so I was pretty sure that Christmas was coming soon. Afterwards, to get some water, I went to Sprouts, and there was a floor-to-ceiling tree made out of Pellegrino bottles. The trees and holiday displays all look back to that night in Bethlehem, but none look forward into our future. None look to the second Advent. Today's readings, however, look only to that second Advent, that future, and they offer us advice in preparing for the days to come. Work for peace. Create communities. Facilitate change. Wake up. Be alert. The day of the Lord is at hand. Be ready. It could be soon. Leave your old ways behind. Take up the new. In Dickens' Tale of Two Cities, there's a story of a cobbler. And the cobbler was sentenced to the Bastille, and there he worked day and night making shoes. He made thousands of shoes. Eventually, the Bastille was overrun, and he was freed. And so he went home to his village and his house, where he immediately set up a cobbler shop in his bedroom and proceeded to make shoes, doing what he had done in the Bastille. His situation had changed. His body was free, but within him, he had no vision of the future. He had no great expectation that would pull him forward into that new future. Locked within himself, he could make no new beginnings, nor could he experience the advent of his liberation. The first Sunday of Advent, surprisingly enough, is not about a Pellegrino tower celebrating the past. The first Sunday of Advent is about warning us against following in the footsteps of the cobbler, of continuing to live our lives as we have in the past, when open before us is a new future. Work for peace. Jesus says, "I leave you my peace. I do not give to you as the world gives." Instead, wake up to God's great shalom, that shalom that binds us together in our daily greetings and in our divine destiny. Be alert for any opportunity to make a plowshare or a pruning hook into something less deadly. Live in the expectation of great creative reversals. My grandmother grew up in a time before women could vote, and this year a woman ran for president. My grandmother was born just after slavery and died just before a black man became president. Change is here, change is coming. Our work in this process is to be alert and nurture the change that is in the world. In a world where there is so much loss, with terror and war and refugees, God has given us a chance to walk in the light of the Lord. In that light, we can see God's own kind of peace at work among us. When we share the peace here in our liturgy, as we greet each other, that greeting can be informed and transformed by an expectation of divine destiny at work within each of us. Be alert for the opportunity to create community. Not just any community, but a community that knows the peace of the Lord. Our peace is always communal. It always involves the other. The author of the psalm did not look just to his own salvation, but writes, "For my brethren and companions' sake, because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek to do you good." The first Sunday of Advent also carries with it a warning against the fallacy of the cobbler, who could not quit doing what he had been doing even though his circumstances have changed. Our reading set before us, in spite of how things look in the present, the great expectation for peace and community. Love your neighbor as yourself is the great summary of Christian ethics. If you have neighbors, you have community. If love is being shared among these neighbors, then it is a community woven into the fabric of God's peace. Community is a group of people brought together not just for like interests and good feelings. It's a community brought together by God to know and love God for all time. It's a community who seeks to find the Christ in each of its members and live life in the light of God. Wake up to the possibilities of change As Nobel laureate Bob Dylan said, times they are a-changing, not just the sudden changes of the world like our recent political elections, but the possibilities of change that extend beyond what we know now or what we can conceive. Ultimately, change is in the hands of God. Paul said in the epistle not read for today, now is the moment for you to awake from sleep. The night is far gone, the day is near. Now is the moment of impending change. We don't know what the future holds for the church, for our country, or for the world, but we can know the future that God holds for us. We can become more flexible to God's will, open to new possibilities, free from past practices and routines. So this Advent, as we travel down that dark desert highway towards the shimmering light that is Christ born in Bethlehem and the Christ yet to come, we no longer need to be prisoners of our own devices. We no longer need to seek to receive, as those great Christian theologians, the eagles, said. We can escape our programs and look past the towers of Pellegrino and the signs at Target that urge us to have a spectacular holiday. Instead, let us cast away the works of darkness and put on the armor of light now in the time of this mortal life in which our Son Jesus Christ came to visit us in great humility. Amen.